Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Thursday, August 7th, 2025. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Trump nominates far-right Pasco Mayor Peter Serrano as U.S. Attorney for Eastern Washington. Serrano ran for Attorney General last year. Trump cancels Biden administration approval of Lava Ridge Wind Farm in southern Idaho. Idaho Health and Welfare says measles has been detected in Coeur d'Alene wastewater. And U.S. District Judge Donald Malloy in Missoula vacates the federal government's determination that gray wolves do not need federal protection under the Endangered Species Act. We'll have details on these stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The Trump administration has nominated far-right Pasco Mayor Pete Serrano as U.S. Attorney for Eastern Washington. The nomination needs approval by the U.S. Senate. Peter Serrano ran as a Republican for Washington Attorney General last year, losing to Democrat Nick Brown. Serrano currently is director and general counsel for the Silent Majority Foundation, which has sued the state of Washington over its COVID vaccine mandates, which saved lives during the pandemic. The foundation has also sued Washington, claiming its gun control laws are unconstitutional. Serrano is a former attorney for the U.S. Department of Energy. The Pasco City Council appointed him mayor last year. Serrano has described the criminals who attacked the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021, as political prisoners. On January 20th this year, Trump wrongly pardoned those who took part in the attack on democracy. Serrano also represents Christian nationalist Sean Fucht in his lawsuit against the city of Spokane as part of his work with the Silent Majority Foundation. The Spokane City Council voted in 2023 to sanction then-Mayor Nadine Woodward for appearing on stage with Fucht and with former State Representative Matt Shea during a stop on the Kingdom to the Capitol tour, a religious and political series organized by Fucht. Woodward later indicated the appearance with Fucht and his lettuce worship group was a mistake and denounced Shea, calling him a threat to democracy. On stage, August 20th, 2023, Shea placed a hand on then-Mayor Woodward, and Woodward extended her hands forward as Shea called on the crowd to join in prayer. According to the Spokesman Review, Shea said, "I want you to extend your hands right now because we've got an enemy we need to fight, and his name is Satan." California State University at Chico history professor Sean Schwaller told the Spokesman Review at the time, "Fucht is a former Republican candidate for Congress from Redding, California, who got political momentum by creating Lettuce Worship, which held large, unmasked, in-person events before vaccines were available during the early part of the pandemic." Schwaller said, "He hit the jackpot. He toured the country on that and made millions." Schwaller put out a documentary in 2022 called Super Spreader, The Rise of Hashtag Lettuce Worship. U.S. Interior Secretary Doug Burgum announced yesterday the Lava Ridge Wind Project in southern Idaho is officially canceled. Former President Joe Biden approved a scaled-down version of the project in December after local opposition criticized the height of the windmills, which were to be up to 660 feet tall, and because they might impact the views from the Minidoka National Historic Site, where the U.S. government imprisoned thousands of Japanese Americans during World War II. The canceled project would have included a 1,000-megawatt wind facility in Jerome, Lincoln, and Minidoka counties covering 57,447 acres with up to 230 wind turbines. The original plan called for 400 wind turbines. The scaled-down project would have placed the nearest turbine to the Minidoka National Historic Site 9 miles away. Trump froze approval of all new wind projects the first day of his second term, putting the Lava Ridge project on hold. The project would have been on a Federal Bureau of Land Management parcels in the Twin Falls area. Republican U.S. Senator Jim Risch of Idaho said President Trump and Secretary Burgum announced the results of the final review on Lava Ridge, concluding what we in Idaho have known, Lava Ridge is wrong for the Gem State. The project received repeated formal opposition from the Idaho legislature, Idaho elected officials, county and city officials, members of the Japanese American community, and the Idaho congressional delegation. Burgum said in a statement, by reversing the Biden administration's thoughtless approval of the Lava Ridge Wind Project, we are protecting tens of thousands of acres from harmful wind policy while shielding the interests of rural Idaho communities. This decisive action defends the American taxpayer, safeguards our land, and averts what would have been one of the largest, most irresponsible wind projects in the nation. The Bureau of Land Management said the wind project could have powered up to 500,000 homes, and that when it approved the project, its decision reflected, quote, a careful balance of clean energy development with the protection of natural, cultural, and socioeconomic resources on the historically significant landscape. Trump signed the newly passed tax and spending legislation last month, which ends tax credits and other subsidies for clean energy, and he signed an executive order further restricting subsidies for what he calls the Green New Scam. The Interior Department said in a statement, the restrictions on clean energy projects are aimed at ending preferential treatment for unreliable, subsidy-dependent wind and solar energy. Burgum recently issued a new order requiring agencies evaluating new wind and solar projects consider capacity density, or how much area the projects cover. Large commercial-scale solar and wind projects usually require a greater amount of land and water than other energy sources such as oil and natural gas. American Clean Power Association CEO Jason Grumet, whose organization represents the renewable industry, said, this isn't oversight, it's obstruction that will needlessly harm the fastest-growing sources of electrical power. You're listening to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman. Idaho Health and Welfare Department epidemiologist Christine Hahn says tests on wastewater show someone in the Coeur d'Alene area was infected with measles. Idaho has not had any reported cases of measles so far during the current nationwide outbreak. A map on the Centers for Disease Control website shows Washington and Montana have had between 10 and 49 cases each so far this year. One possibility is someone traveling through Coeur d'Alene had the measles. Hahn says there's no way of knowing. She told the Idaho Statesman, it's possible the person in Coeur d'Alene was totally asymptomatic, and it's possible they had a mild fever or rash and never sought medical care. Hahn said, wastewater detection won't be translated into reporting a case. Right now, we really can't say if this indicates one person or more than one person. Wastewater Scan, the National Wastewater Monitoring System based at Stanford University, reported they detected measles from a sample from the Coeur d'Alene Water Resource Recovery Facility on July 29th and then detected higher levels of the virus there on July 31st. Boise is the only other city in Idaho that tests wastewater for measles. Boise tests water at its treatment plant that also treats water for Garden City and Eagle. Hahn said measles vaccines are very effective because they offer lifetime protection. Children should get two doses, once when they turn 1 year old and the second when they start kindergarten. The National Immunization Survey estimates only 80% of Idaho kindergartners have been vaccinated for measles. The Centers for Disease Control reported this week the U.S. has the highest number of measles cases since the U.S. declared the disease eliminated in 2000. According to the New York Times, the current outbreak started in West Texas in a Mennonite community and has spread to New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Kansas. Texas, where the majority of cases are in unvaccinated people, has had 800 reported cases so far this year. There have been 1,356 cases of measles so far this year in the U.S., and 13% of those cases required hospitalization. There have been 3 measles deaths in the U.S. so far this year. The current outbreak is attributable to the growing anti-vax movement, which is emboldened by widely circulated disinformation about vaccines being dangerous. Current Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. visited Samoa in 2019 and publicly supported vaccination opponents who had been working there just before an outbreak killed 83 people there, mostly children. U.S. District Court Judge Donald Malloy in Missoula this week vacated the federal government's determination that gray wolves do not need federal protection under the Endangered Species Act. Various environmental groups praised Judge Malloy's ruling as a step forward towards greater protection. According to the Daily Montanan, Environmental Law Center senior attorney Matthew Bishop issued a statement which said the Endangered Species Act requires the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service consider the best available science, and that requirement is what won the day for wolves in this case. Wolves have yet to recover across the West, and allowing a few states to undertake aggressive wolf-killing regimes is inconsistent with the law. We hope this decision will encourage the service to undertake a holistic approach to wolf recovery in the West. The decision came following several lawsuits from a coalition of conservation groups last year. The coalition included the Western Watersheds Project and several Montana conservation groups. In February of 2024, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service declined to relist wolves after a coalition of more than 70 organizations requested it. The federal finding at the time said, "We concluded that the gray wolf in the western United States is not in danger of extinction or likely to become in danger of extinction in the foreseeable future throughout all of its range or in any significant portion of its range. Therefore, we find that listing the gray wolf in the western United States as an endangered species or a threatened species under the act is not warranted." Judge Malloy wrote in his decision Tuesday, "For the most part, plaintiffs are correct." He went on to say the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, quote, "made numerous unfounded assumptions regarding the future condition of the gray wolf despite recognizing either limitation on those conditions or bias in the population estimated utilized. Because these deficiencies are serious and pervasive, they weigh in favor of vacating the portion of the 2024 finding that determined that the gray wolf in the western United States does not meet the definition of an endangered or threatened species." Montana Governor Greg Gianforte said he disagreed with Malloy's ruling. Gianforte's administration spokesperson, Caitlin Price, claimed the plaintiffs are extremists and Judge Malloy is an activist judge. Price said, "Montana has a healthy, sustainable population of wolves. While we are reviewing the decision, it will not implicate our state's management efforts or our wolf season. Unfortunately, we're not surprised to see another activist decision in favor of environmental extremists. If the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service appeals the decision, Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks will be there to support them." In the suit, the conservation group said the Fish and Wildlife Service did use adequate scientific research, which cast doubt on the methods the Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Department and Idaho Fish and Game had, who questioned the research behind their estimations of wolf populations. Montana uses an integrated patch occupancy model for their conclusions. Idaho Fish and Game uses trail cameras for wolf population estimates, which conservation groups say overcount actual wolf numbers. You're listening to the KRFP Evening Report on KRFP, Moscow Pullman.
Bears, bison, and other animals aren't leaving Yellowstone National Park in large numbers, despite what you may have seen online. Posts on social media began popping up in July, suggesting that animals might be moving out of the park because they knew more about some impending disaster of which humans were not aware, such as the eruption of the supposed supervolcano lurking under Yellowstone. Michael Poland is the scientist in charge of Yellowstone Volcano Observatory at the U.S. Geological Survey. He says there were undertones in the false claims from these videos that animals know more about nature than humans, but there isn't evidence to support that. He also notes that videos showed animals that were filmed elsewhere or at different times of year, such as a video of mountain lions migrating south.
It was claimed to be in July, and there was snow all over the place, and that's not how Yellowstone looks in July. So I think if people look at these videos and don't take them at face value and think a little bit about what they're seeing, that might help to sort of deduce something that's a joke from something that might be real.
The claims on social media appear to have come from a satirical account, although others believed animals really were leaving the park in droves. Poland wrote an article for the Yellowstone Caldera Chronicles to dispel these rumors. The Chronicles consist of weekly columns written by scientists and collaborators at the Yellowstone Volcano Observatory. Poland says internet hoaxes like this one happen from time to time and are usually pretty harmless. However, the rumors did have an impact on the staff at Yellowstone National Park.
It hit the national park kind of hard in that they got all kinds of inquiries. So they spent a bunch of their time trying to respond to those inquiries rather than doing other things that might be more constructive.
While fears have persisted that the caldera under Yellowstone will erupt, Poland says that isn't likely.
Reality is that the Yellowstone magma body is mostly solid. We're just not worried about a volcanic eruption there. On human timescales, the bigger hazards are a strong tectonic earthquake, something like the magnitude 7.3 that happened in 1959, a steam explosion like the one that happened just last year.
For Northern Rockies News Service, I'm Eric Tegedoff.
KRFP thanks its listeners and sponsors, including Tie-Dye Everything, with locally made tie-dyed items, incense, and other accessories. Tie-Dye Everything is located near 6th Street at 527 South Main Street in Moscow. For more information, you can find Tie-Dye Everything at tie-dye-everything.com.
Programming on KRFP is also sponsored by Ungadunga Brewing Company of 333 North Jackson Street in Moscow. Ungadunga features live music, special events, fine food, and craft beers at hungadungabrewing.com and on Facebook and Instagram.
Latah County Prosecutor Bill Thompson said he and Deputy Prosecutor Ashley Jennings, quote, did our job in justifying the plea deal with convicted murderer Brian Koberger, who stabbed four University of Idaho students to death in November 2022. Thompson said a successful conclusion to the case might not have been possible if Koberger had not left his DNA at the crime scene. According to the Idaho Statesman, Thompson said, without that important evidence, the guilty plea may not have been possible. He said, from our perspective as prosecutors, the DNA was critical to the strength of the case for trial purposes. Lead investigator for the Moscow Police Department, Corporal Brett Payne, said he was confident the investigation would have led authorities to Koberger, who drove his white Hyundai Elantra to the scene where the students were stabbed to death with a large fixed-blade knife. Thompson said, from our perspective as prosecutors, the DNA was critical to the strength of the case for trial purposes. Thompson said investigators confirmed the paternal DNA match found on the leather knife sheath at the crime scene with DNA found in garbage cans of Koberger's parents' home in Pennsylvania. Judge Stephen Hippler sentenced Koberger to four consecutive life sentences in a plea deal reached between defense lawyers and prosecutors that allowed Koberger to avoid the death penalty. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the Moscow-Pullman area, there's a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms before 8 p.m. tonight, then a slight chance of showers before midnight. Partly cloudy, low 45. West winds 5 to 10, becoming light and variable in the evening with gusts up to 20. Sunny tomorrow, high 77. Partly cloudy, low 50 on Friday night. Mostly sunny, high 83 Saturday. Partly cloudy, low 52 on Saturday night. And sunny, high 88 on Sunday. Will be a warming trend. Monday's high is expected to be 92. currently 68 degrees. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. There's a drop-down box that says Support KRFP. You can underwrite programming, which is a cost-effective way of letting our listeners know your business or nonprofit supports community radio. You can adopt a DJ, there's a PayPal option, and there's a Patreon button as well. Once again, we'll gladly accept checks of any amount at KRFP 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. I'm Lee Robartis. Brenda Cox and Jim Roach assist with tonight's newscast. Have a pleasant evening. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial and online. Coming up, an edition of Noise Filter, followed at 6:30 by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. At 7:30, we'll have Appearing Locally, where we'll feature music from artists that are appearing in the Moscow Pullman area in the near future. And at 8 o'clock, First Wave is on the air. Stay tuned for more KRFP Moscow Pullman.
Programming on KRFP is sponsored by listeners like you and by Giant Palouse Earthworm, providing DIY music booking in Moscow and Pullman, focusing on extreme metal, punk, hardcore, and the avant-garde. Giant Palouse Earthworm is available on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. Programming on KRFP is also sponsored by Rembrandt Tree Care, family owned and operated since 1977. A conscientious approach to urban forestry with year-round tree service on the Palouse and surrounding areas. You can reach Rembrandt Tree Care at 509-330-0699.
KRFP thanks all of its donors and underwriters for helping make this programming possible.